Daniel chapter 9. I want to talk to you this morning about a subject that, you know, I think we all understand the basics of it. In other words, if I asked you this morning, what do you think your future is as a believer? You're probably going to say, I'm going to heaven one of these days. Now, I hope you would say that. If you can't say that, then either you're not saved or you are saved and you don't understand what your Bible says, okay? But I would hope that everybody could say this morning, they're sitting here, that you're going to heaven. And but I think that outside of dying and going to heaven, which we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but what if you were to not die and then the events of the world were to start to happen? How would your path work then? In other words, the path getting you to heaven, how would that work? And I think that there are a lot of Christians today who do not understand this. They do not understand the order of events that this world has coming and the role that we play in that and where we're going to be in all that. There are many Christians today that are confused when it comes to the order of events that is coming in this world. How many of you understand that the Bible gives prophecies of how things are going to pan out? Now, here's the good thing. If you're saved here this morning, then the book of Revelation should not be something that would scare you if you're saved and you're right with God, okay? But I know because I was there at one time. There was a time when the book of Revelation scared me half to death. I mean, if I even heard the word Revelation, I'd get nervous. Well, I was saved, but I wasn't right with God at the time. And so when you start reading your Bible, you find out that if you're saved, the book of Revelation is a very happy book for you. It's a book that's very uplifting. Why? Because you know how this thing's all going to turn out. And you know where you're going to be in the end. Amen? And by the way, we're not going to be on this earth in the end. This earth is going to be destroyed. The heaven, when you look up, the heavens you see at night, that's not going to be the same. It's all going to change. And things, when it's all over with, we're all going to have smiles on our faces because we have a very bright future as Christians. And what I want to do this morning is I want to just kind of begin by talking about the future that we have. Now, the reason that we have a great future as believers is because we are righteous. Now, that don't mean that we do what's right, and that doesn't mean we're righteous on our own. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So we know that we're all sinners. We know we all come short of the glory of God. We know that. And you say, well, how can you say that we're righteous? Because it's not our righteousness we're counting on. We're counting on the righteousness of Christ. We have put on the righteousness of God. In other words, it's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Our righteousness is horrible. It's filthy. But in Romans chapter 9, verse 30, it says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? That's our righteousness. In other words, it's not the fact that we deserve anything, that we are righteous in any part. When it comes to us, it's we're righteous because God's righteous. Now, here's where that's really great, is that when the Lord looks at you, he understands your flesh sins. And because of that, I mean, we can break fellowship with the Lord if we don't repent and confess those sins. That's true. But spiritually speaking, the Lord looks at you as perfect. You know why? Because it's not your righteousness you're counting on. It's the Lord's righteousness. Jesus Christ never sinned a single time. And he was born of a virgin. He is perfect. And we are in him. So therefore, we are made righteous through him. And because of that, folks, when the Lord looks at us, he doesn't look at us as sinners, but as sons. Now, you say, well, okay, well, so what? That's critical. Because how many of you understand that we're all going to stand before that throne one of these days? Now listen, when you stand before that throne, anybody that stands before that throne had better be righteous, or otherwise in the lake of fire he goes. Why? The wages of sin is death. And so if anybody here this morning is counting on your own righteousness to get you anywhere, if you die, you'll die in your sins because your righteousness is no good, but Jesus Christ's righteousness is perfect. And so because we're righteous, we have a very, very wonderful future. Now, like I said, many Christians today they don't understand the order of events that will take place in the future. Now, again, it's appointed unto men once to die, so I'm just going to tell you right now, there's a good chance that you're going to die before all this happens, okay? But let's just say that doesn't happen. What I want to do this morning is I just want to show you the order of events, and really, we're going to start this morning, but I'm not going to be able to finish this morning because it's just a lot of information, and we're going to be looking at a few different things, some things that we have in our future, some things that we won't have in our future, which really is a blessing too, and we're going to be looking at some of these things. But what I want to do is I want to draw a timeline here. And on this timeline, we're going to start off back here. We'll say Old Testament back here. And then right here, we'll say this right here is the cross of Calvary. And then we know that we live sometime here. Sometime down the road, there's going to come an event that this world has never seen anything like it. It's going to be bad, okay? We're going to be talking about that. There's going to come an event, and that event is going to be only going to last 7 years. We say that, it's easy for me to say that because I'm going to be a part of it. So 7 years is going to be long for the people that's here. And then after that, the greatest event that this world has ever seen will happen right after that. And then right after that, we have, I'll just go ahead and move that this way. We have new heaven and new earth. Now, you say, boy, this is going to be great when we get this new heaven, new earth. Yes, but there are some things that have to happen before that comes to pass on this earth. Amen? Now, it's very important that you understand the order of events because a lot of people get things mixed up here. Do you realize there are people today, this right here, I'm just going to say, this right here is a 1,000-year reign of Christ. I hope I didn't spell that. And then you have, here is 70th week of Daniel. The reason I say that we need to learn the order of events is because there are a lot of people that thinks that 1,000-year reign is the time you're living in right now. You say, how in the world do they think that? They think that Jesus, because Jesus Christ is in you and he's supposed to rule over your life, that he's reigning on this earth right now through Christians. But there's a problem with that, because when you start reading in the Old Testament and you start reading some of the minor prophets and you start reading in some of the other books, you're going to find out the way things are going to be on this earth when the Lord is reigning. And you do not see those things going on right now. How many of you ever seen bear out there eating with cows and eating grass? Anybody seen that? Or the lion out there eating with the cows, eating grass. I've not seen that. Now, if you've seen it, take a picture. I want to see it, okay? But that's the way it's going to be when the Lord's here. I mean, it says that a little child will be able to play with a snake and not worry about being bit. That lion's about there eating grass with cow or with the cows and the goats. And the sun's going to be 7 times brighter. Those sorts of things. You read about those things in the Old Testament. That's not now. But the problem is somebody doesn't know the order of events. So they put the 1,000-year reign here rather than over here. Did you know one time I had a fellow tell me that I started talking to him and he was kind of a drifter. He came in here, he was at a church service here in Great Falls actually, and he was kind of a drifter walking on the road, and he showed up at church one time. He had the backpack on and some people, a couple men from the church were talking to him after church and they waved me over there and said, Brother Bob, come up here and talk to this guy. And so I did, and I said, well, you know, we started talking about some things, and he started telling me what he believed, and he says, I believe we're living in the tribulation right now, and in the United States, the Antichrist. You know what he did? He took this and put it right here. Wrong. Wrong order of events. Now, I'm not saying that this country is perfect. I'm not saying that. But when you start to read about how it's going to be during the 70th week of Daniel, we ain't there yet, folks. Now, the Bible says that's going to be the worst time that this world has ever seen. Now, this world's seen some pretty bad times. I mean, you start looking at the time over there with Pol Pot in Asia. You start looking at Adolf Hitler in Germany and the things that he did and murdering 6 million Jews. We ain't there yet. Now, it's getting bad. But there's a time coming that's way worse. But what they've done, they've misplaced this. We need to know the order of events and where we're going to be at those order of events. Because if you don't, you're going to get all messed up on your doctrine. And when that Bible says, wherefore comfort yourselves with these words, if you get this thing messed up, you won't have any comfort at all. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Let me ask you something. Now, let's just think about this for a second. If I told everybody here this morning, I was like, okay, good morning. Welcome to Graceway Baptist Church. You're going to go through the tribulation. And you're going to get beheaded because of your faith. And they're going to try to get you to take a mark of the beast. And you won't be able to buy or sell. And you'll be able to see all your friends get killed and all these bad things happening. Now, comfort yourself with those words. How would you think about that? You'd think I was crazy, wouldn't you? There is no way you could get comfort right now knowing that the Antichrist could show up today and that 7 years would start for you, and you get to see the wormwood crashing into the earth, and you get to see the sea turning into blood and the river turning into blood, and you get to see all these things happen. You get to see these creatures coming up from the bottomless pit, and they're attacking people and nobody will be able to die. Aren't those comforting words? No, they're not. And Paul knew that too. That's when he said, wherefore comfort yourself with these words over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know what he was talking about the chapter before that? The fact that the dead in Christ shall be raised, and those of us alive remain shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever we be with the Lord. And then he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, the very next chapter, he says that we are not the children of darkness. We are the children of light. Wherefore comfort yourself with these words. Now that makes sense. Amen. You know what he's saying? You're not going to be here for it. Got to get these things in order. Got to get them in order. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at this quite a bit to make sure that we're all on the same page here. But over in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about something what it basically talks about is the 70th week of Daniel. There's 7 years right here that's going to come. And in the 7 years, what you're going to have is you're going to have the Antichrist coming at the first of it. He's going to come in peace. He's going to make a peace agreement in Israel. Remember, everything is about Israel. You don't see America much in prophecy. Why? I'm trying to say this as lightly as possible, but we don't matter. You know what matters to God? Israel. Amen. That's what matters to God. All right, so you see the Antichrist is going to come here. He's going to make a peace agreement, but halfway in the middle of this 70th week of Daniel, and I'm going to show you here that this is, when it says 70th week, it's a week of years, not days, okay? You say, oh, great, Pastor, you're one of those people that teach that back in Genesis 1 that it was not a literal 24-hour day. No, they were literal 24-hour days back in Genesis 1. Why? It says the evening and the morning were the first day. But you read over here in Daniel chapter 9, you're going to see that it's not literal days, it's weeks of years, okay? And this week right here, the 70th week, would be 7 years. Halfway through that thing, it's called Great Tribulation. Great Tribulation is only, in fact, you'll find nowhere in the Bible where it says 7 years of tribulation. It doesn't say that. Nowhere. It does say the 70th week of Daniel. It does say the time of Jacob's trouble, okay? But it does not say 7 years of tribulation. It says there in Matthew chapter 24, which we'll get to that eventually too, but Matthew chapter 24, it says from the abomination of desolation, which is the halfway point, when he gets inside, the Antichrist gets inside the temple and says, I am God, that's a halfway point. That's at the 3.5-year part of this 7 years. Then things are going to get really bad because that's when he's going to start requiring people to take the mark. That's when it's called Great Tribulation. A time that this earth, worse than this time has ever, this earth has ever seen. Now, it's going to be really bad for the first 3.5 years, but it's going to be really, really bad the last 3.5 years. But again, you don't need to worry about being a part of that. Why? Your future doesn't involve that. Now, 70th week of Daniel, that's what you learn about when you look over here in Daniel chapter 9, because Daniel chapter 9 talks about this 70th week of Daniel. And you say, well, why is it so important that we learn prophecy? Well, how is prophecy, and you say, how is prophecy going to make it better this coming week for me? I mean, how is it going to help me handle the problems that I have in life, knowing this prophecy? How is it going to help me handle the problems that I'm facing day to day? Well, I'll tell you this, if you understand Bible prophecy as a Christian, you're going to understand that there is great comfort and great hope in the future. And certainly it'll make you a whole lot more thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. Because listen, when he When he died on the cross of Calvary, he gave you everlasting life, but there's a lot of things that's going to be in the future that you're not going to be a part of because of that. Because, you say why? Because you're his bride, because you're a son of God. He's not going to allow you to go through that. Listen, the 70th week of Daniel, you're going to find out, is all for the nation of Israel. Now turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, look if you would, starting at verse 24. Now notice here, this is a prophecy given to Daniel. And here's what the prophecy is to Daniel. And remember, Daniel's the one that's being spoken to here. Always remember context. Who's it speaking to? Who's doing the speaking? Those things. All right, Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, remember we talked about that, in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now again, this is talking about the period of 70 weeks. Now, this over here is just, this that I drew over here is the 70th week of Daniel. That's the 70th week. But there, you say, well, what about the other 69? Well, we're going to cover it later on, but I'm just going to tell you, the other 69 came to right here. Actually, it came a little bit past that. How many remember when Jesus Christ came riding in on the donkey and everybody was saying, Hail Hosanna? Okay, that's the 69 weeks stopped there. Okay, from that point on, you have this period here. Hopefully this writes on a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, you have this period here that we're living in right now. That's called basically the age of grace. Now, I understand that it's always been about the grace of God. I understand that. But that's just generally what we call this, or the church age. We also call it the church age, okay? And this is something that none of the prophets ever saw. When you read in the Old Testament, they could see the cross. We know that because in Isaiah chapter 53 talks about it, you know, how he was wounded for our transgressions, okay? So you see it there, and they were able to see this, but they weren't able to see this age of grace that we're in right now. They were never able to see that, okay? Why? It's like the Lord, he had these 60 or these 70 weeks were determined upon thy people, according to Daniel, but the Lord stopped it here at the end of 69 weeks, and he hasn't started the 70th week of Daniel yet. In other words, he basically just put a slot of time there. Now, that little slot of time is right now over 2,000 years, okay? But to the Lord, I mean, 1,000 years a day is 1,000 years, amen? So to him, 2,000 years isn't much. And really, if you think about in the terms of eternity, what's 2,000 years? I mean, that's nothing, okay? But you have this age of grace here where we're living in. And so the 69 weeks came to here, but then the 70th week will start in the future. That's what that Daniel chapter 9 is talking about. And so if you look at verse 25, it says that basically these 490 years, okay, you say, well, how do you get that? Because it's 70 weeks, and each one of those weeks are 7 years. So if you have 70 weeks, and each one of those weeks are 7 years, you have 490 years, okay? And it says that it began... it says here, it says, know that therefore and understand that the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. That's what it's talking about. So that's from the commandment that was given to Artaxerxes to Nehemiah in Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8. From that time until the Lord was claimed to be king, when he rode on that donkey, that is your 69 weeks, okay? But it's important that you get that these 70 weeks that's mentioned here, if you look back at verse 24, who are those 70 weeks determined upon? not us. Listen, Daniel's being talked to, and he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who was Daniel's people? Jews. You know what that means? That the 70 weeks were never determined but upon us as believers. No believer. Listen, there were no believers of this age in the first 69 weeks. None. You know how many there's going to be in the 70th week? None. Why? The 70th weeks are not determined upon us. Listen, we're God's people. We're born again believers. We're sons of God. That's not talking about us. It says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel. That's your nation. That's your people, the Jews. That's what it's talking about. So guess what? 69 weeks, no believers of this age. 70th week, no believers of this age. That means we're here starting from here, and then we're going to be gone before this ever starts, because the 70 weeks aren't determined upon us. It has nothing to do with us. To tell you the truth, it has nothing to do with any Gentile on this earth either, but they're going to get caught up in the thing. Okay? Now, I'll show you. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. That's what he says there. And so we know that's Jews. But also notice the purpose of these 70 weeks. And there are six purposes of these 70 weeks. And these 70 weeks now are determined upon, listen, the nation of Israel. Because when you look at your Bible, before the cross in the Old Testament, do you know what God was interested in? The nation of Israel. It was the nation of Israel that he got the land for. Amen? So he gave it to them as a nation. It was a nation of Israel that he made promises to. We're talking promises to the physical seed of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. Now, I understand that there are some promises made to us through Abraham because we are of Christ, who is the spiritual seed. I understand that. I understand what Galatians is talking about. But I'm talking about the physical seed of Abraham. There were certain promises made to them because God's interested in the nation of Israel. When it comes to God punishing them or sending them into captivity, it was about the nation of Israel. Daniel, when Daniel's being talked to here, his nation is in captivity when he is being talked to here. So he is saying that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the nation of Israel, because that's who God was working with in the Old Testament. By the way, that's who he is working with. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So guess what? In the first 69 weeks, that 70 weeks, or those weeks were determined upon the nation of Israel. So if the first 69 weeks were determined upon the nation of Israel, who's the 70th week going to be determined upon? The nation of Israel. You understand that, okay? It's about a nation. It's not about individuals. Now listen, we talked, I think, here not too long ago, we went over the covenants, and we studied the covenants and figured out, you know, all these different covenants that were given. And we know, when we got to the last one, it's called the New Covenant. And that New Covenant is basically where God says, I'm going to make you my people, and I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to put a new heart in you. If you're saved here today, you're in on that. You've already experienced that. You've been grafted in. Read Revelation chapter 11, or Romans chapter 11. That's what it's talking about. But here, it's a nation. Today, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Now, that's Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. Jew or Gentile. Anybody can be saved today as an individual. But it's not about individuals here. It wasn't about individuals here either. It's about nation. A nation. That's what Daniel is talking about up here in Daniel 9:24. It says 70 weeks are turned upon by the people. Now, what is the purpose of these 70 weeks of years that are determined upon the nation of Israel? Well, the nation of Israel don't have what you have right now. They are not saved as a nation right now. They have not been given the covenant right now. They had the opportunity to receive their Messiah, to receive Jesus Christ their King, but they rejected Jesus Christ their King and said, we'll have no other man, no other rule over us but Caesar. We'll not have this man rule over us. That's what the nation of Israel did. Now, because of that, there's a time coming when it's going to get pretty rough on the nation of Israel in this world. It's going to get bad. That's the 70th week of Daniel. Now, the 70th week of Daniel has a purpose. But you're going to notice that the purposes that the 70th week of Daniel have, that is used for the nation of Israel, You don't have to worry about it. And I'm going to show you that. Notice the first purpose. The first purpose here, if you'll notice there, it says it's to finish the transgression. It is to finish the transgression. It says there in verse 24, it says 70 weeks are to turn upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. In other words, its purpose is to complete the transgression of the people as a nation of Israel. All right, the second reason for the 70 weeks of years is determined upon Israel is to make an end of sins. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Now, again, this has nothing to do with us. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, just before he died on the cross, you know what he said? He said, it is finished. It is finished. How many of you understand that he took our sins upon himself? And he died on that cross. You know what he did? He put an end to your sins. Now, that doesn't mean you stop sinning. We all still sin in the flesh. But he didn't die for our flesh. Now, I've said this 1,000 times. You say, well, Pastor, you're always beating a dead horse on that. That's true. I want you to get it. He didn't die for our flesh. He died for your soul. He died for your spiritual part. And when he did that, he said it's finished. Folks, it's finished. That's the reason it says in 1 John 3:9, it says, he that is born of God cannot sin. Why? It's finished. You listen, when he died for you, he placed you in himself. You're now seated in the heavenly spiritually. You can't sin. That's when he said he put your sin as far as the east is from the west. But you still sin physically. Guess what's going to happen to your flesh? It's appointed unto man once to die. It's got to die. The wage of sin is death. And we know that when we do sin in the flesh, that we still have to repent and confess it to stay in fellowship with God. But our sins have been washed away. Isn't it a great thing to know the blood of Jesus Christ washed away all your sins, past, present, and future? Amen. All of them. I mean, listen, it washed away sins that I haven't even thought about doing yet that I'll one day do. It already washed them away too. That's when he said it's finished. He made an end of sins for you, spiritually. He made an end of sins. But that's not true for the nation of Israel. They don't have what you have. They don't have it. They still have to, their sins still have to come to an end. They do not have the new covenant. All right? A third reason that the 70th weeks are determined upon the nation of Israel and the holy city of Jerusalem is to make reconciliation. Again, there in verse 24 it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now again, Christ did this for us on the cross of Calvary because we were saved because of our iniquity. Before we were saved, because of our iniquity, the Bible says that we were the children of darkness, or the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. And because we were still in our sins, we were condemned at that time. Before we were saved. And because of that, we were separated from God. We were enemies of God. Now, you think about what that's actually saying, folks. I mean, to be the enemies of your Creator? To be enemies of one who spoke this world into existence? That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? To be his, I mean, what chance would you possibly stand to be an enemy of your Creator? The one who gave you life, who could take it just like that? That'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? I mean, if you had an opportunity to reconcile things with him, of all people that we need to reconcile things with, your Creator would probably be number one on the list, amen? And you say, how can we do that? You couldn't on your own. You needed something. You needed the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed before that could happen. And when he died on the cross for your sins, you know what happened? The moment you received him, the Bible says that you were reconciled to God. You are no longer his enemy. You are no longer in danger of falling into the hands of an angry God. You know what you became? His sons. Quite a big difference, ain't it? Now he went from you being his enemy to you being his son. We're the sons of God. You've been reconciled. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath been reconciled. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's what happened to you the moment you got saved. But that's not true for the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel hadn't been reconciled to God yet. They're still in their sins. So what's going to have to happen? Well, the tribulation is going to have to happen. The 70 week of Daniel is going to have to happen. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people for the reconciliation of iniquity. That's not you, folks. That's the nation of Israel. You got to get that. You know, there are people today that think that we have to go through the tribulation because why? I don't know. But we don't. Why? It's not for us. If we've got to go through that tribulation, and we got to go through the 70th week of Daniel considering what the purpose of it is, then why did Christ die on the cross? You ever think about that? If we've got to go through the 70th week of Daniel and it's determined upon us as Christians for the reconciliation of iniquity and for the end of sins, why did Jesus say it is finished? He would have died in vain. But he didn't. He died for you. He saved you. He put an end to your sins. He reconciled you to God. But the nation of Israel still got it coming. Still got it coming. All right? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation. Another reason for those 70 weeks are determined upon the nation of Israel is to bring in everlasting righteousness. This is talking about being saved as a nation. Now, the moment you and I were saved, we were made righteous. Talk about this at the very beginning. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But that hasn't happened yet to the nation of Israel. Now, it will happen one of these days. The promise that God made Israel, that new covenant, will be theirs. In fact, it was supposed to be theirs to begin with, but it was given to us to make them jealous, according to the book of Romans. But it's going to be theirs one of these days. One of these days, they're going to be righteous as a nation. You know what that Bible says in Romans? It says in Romans that they are trying right now to rely on their own righteousness rather than the righteousness of God. That's them now. That was you too before you got saved, by the way. But not anymore. Listen, once the 70th weeks are determined upon them, you know what's going to happen at the end of that 70 weeks? The nation of Israel will be righteous. Why? That new covenant is going to be given to them, and they will be God's people, and God will be their God, and a new heart will be given to them. You read that in the book of Ezekiel. That's a promise that's made to the nation of Israel, and it's going to happen, but 70 weeks are determined upon thy people to bring that in. All right? Another reason for the 70 weeks of years is to seal up the vision of the prophecy. To seal up the vision of the prophecy. You say, seal up the vision of the prophecy until when? Well, flip over to Daniel chapter 12 and I'll show you. What in the world is it talking about? 70 weeks of the term of holding our people to seal up the vision of the prophecy. What prophecy? And what are you talking about sealing up, and how long is it going to be sealed? Well, Daniel chapter 12 tells us this. Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse 1. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Who's thy people? Israel, nation of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people, nation of Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in a book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So Daniel here is told to shut up and seal shut the words. They weren't told to shut up. But he did. He was told to shut up the words and to seal the book even to the time of the end. You say, when is that going to be? Well, we're given some pretty big hints there at the end of that verse of when the time of the end is going to be. Notice it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You say, what does it mean to run to and fro? Well, you know, the world's population today is 7.8 billion people as of yesterday, okay? 7.8 billion people. Now, here in Montana, we don't really get to see the major effects of that too much, and because we don't have many people, and I'm thankful for that, amen? I'm just thankful for that. But you do see the side effects of many people in many other places in the world. When you look at places in the world, you see people everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I think it wasn't too long ago, the missionary came in and showed us he was there somewhere in India. Brother Moriarty, when he came in, and he showed the streets where he normally does the work there. And I mean, there were just absolutely people everywhere. I mean, I don't even know how people drive cars there. A lot of them don't. They drive bicycles because you can't get cars through there. So many people. But there are other places. I mean, if you think of places like Mexico City, places like Bangkok, and these, there's just people everywhere in these big cities. I remember I went to go see my brother in California years ago, and we weren't even in L.A. We were in a place where my brother lives. It's kind of out towards the desert part of California. And I remember I went out, and I stood outside about 1 o'clock in the morning. I looked, and a major highway goes right by his house. And I mean, these cars were still bumper to bumper going 60 miles an hour at 1 a.m. in the morning. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world do people do at 1 o'clock in the morning that they got to be bumper to bumper on this road? Don't people sleep? But I mean, it's 24 hours of people going and going and going, going to and fro. I remember one time, years ago also, I went to go see my brother, and I was driving my wife's Geo Metro. Now, don't laugh at that. The thing got 50 miles to the gallon, okay? Had three cylinders. I didn't even know I had three cylinders, so I went to go change the spark plugs one day, and I couldn't find that fourth cylinder to save my life. But it only had three cylinders, got 50 miles to the gallon, but you know the brake lights went out on that car. And I knew I was going to California. So being a cheapskate that I am, rather than replacing the brake lights the way they're supposed to, I mean, it was some electrical problem. It wasn't just the bulbs. But rather than getting the thing fixed, I figured, well, I'll just rig up a little switch and have the little switch to my brake lights. And I flick on the switch, the brake lights will come on. I flick off the switch, the brake lights go off. And I actually taped that to the stick shift. Now, a lot of the young people don't even know what a stick shift is anymore today, and that's a sad thing, amen? But I had that stick shift on there, and I had this little switch on there, and I'm going downtown L.A., and I'm telling you what, when you're on that road there, it's like 6 wide, and everybody's going 100, and everybody stops. Everybody goes 100, and everybody stops, and that's the way it is. If your brake light ain't working, they're going to run clean over you. You stand no chance. So you should have seen it. Every time I'd go in, Metro could never make 100 miles if it tried, 100 miles an hour. But I get up to about 60, and I get that thing going, and all of a sudden I slam on the brakes, and I flick that switch on. And then all of a sudden I let off the brakes, and I flick the switch back off. I must have done it right. I never did get run over. But what I'm trying to say is this. There were people everywhere running to and fro. You realize that 300 years ago wasn't like that. Amen. I mean, there were a lot of people, but nothing like they are today. People running to and fro. But notice there also that not only is it talking about running to and fro, but it says that knowledge will increase. Knowledge shall be increased. Have you ever thought that the first car was made 300 years ago? So let's say that we have a timeline here from all the way back to Adam. And this timeline goes all the way to where we are today and then past. Have you ever noticed that 300 years ago, let's say 300 years ago here, 300 years ago, a car was made. Before that, do you know what the main source of transportation was? The riding of animals, whether it be camels or horses or ostrich. How many of you ever wanted to ride an ostrich? I always wanted to do that. Anyway. Everybody rode animals to here. But have you ever noticed that since that car was made, what do you have today? Everybody's got cars, jets. I mean, you name it. Space shuttles. Would you say that technology since 300 years ago? Now, before that, we're talking 6,000 years almost. It's the same. But just in the last 300 years, your technology just took off to where you have cell phones and microwaves and computers and all these different electronic gadgets that can do everything, and the technology is still growing. 300 years ago and all the way back before that, your technology wasn't much at all in this world. But it says there, it says, for the last time, the end days, knowledge will increase. I'd say we're there. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. That's where we're at, folks. Now, it tells us when this thing is supposed to be sealed, and he says sealed it until he's sealed until these last days, and sealed it till the end shall come, and then it tells you about the things that's going to happen at the end. He says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now drop down to verse 9. It says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So the words are shut up. The book is sealed until the time of the end. Now, when is that? Flip over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. That book was sealed, and it had prophecies. Book of the prophecy. It was sealed up. Now you see that book show up again, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 1. It says, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book within, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither in under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, more than likely, this book of prophecy that was sealed back in Daniel chapter 12 is this book. Because every time that you're going to see, every time a seal is loosed on this book, the prophecies spoken about by Daniel the prophet come to pass. All right, now flip over to Revelation chapter 6 and I'll show you. It says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. That's the same book now that was talked about in Revelation chapter 5. When I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, I heard as it were a noise of thunder and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. You know what you're seeing? You're seeing one of the prophecies that's found in Daniel come to pass right there. Listen, right there in Daniel 9, he talked about how the Antichrist was going to come, and then he was going to desecrate the temple. He told him how he's going to come. You know what you have? You have the Antichrist showing up right here. Unlooses the seal, the prophecy begins. All right? Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Talking about war. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a low black horse, and that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. That's talking about starvation and pestilence. And then when is in verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they beheld. Or which they held. Drop down to verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And then over in Revelation chapter 8, we read where the seventh seal is open, and that's when the Lord returns. That's when he returns. So these seven seals cover the entire time of Daniel's 70th week. The entire time. Those seals, from the time the Antichrist shows up all the way to the last one, that's the entire time period of that Daniel 70th week. Now, when you read that, that's pretty scary stuff. Amen? 70 weeks were never determined upon you. It was determined upon the nation of Israel. You are not going to go through this. Your sins were forgiven. You've been reconciled to God. You know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to take his bride home. And that's what's going to happen to them. Daniel, back here in the Old Testament, they said, seal the book until the time of the end. That's your time of the end. That book is opened back up, and the prophecies of Daniel come to pass. That's what's in store for this world. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you said the good things that's going to happen to us. The good thing is you ain't going to be in it. Amen? So listen, when you read the book of Revelation, you can read it with a smile on your face. Truly, you can be comforted with those words. We'll look more at this next week. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we